Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the American Allegiance Show. Your host is Kevin White, your capable host who studies the issues and brings them to you, packaged in reality and truth and in the Constitution, the flag of the United States of America. So that number to call is 347-637-3942. And by the way, last week, I got my first call from Indiana. That was exciting. It was awesome. So here's what we're talking about tonight. You guys have heard about the budget talks that Biden's putting together with the Democrats and the Republicans, the giant $5 trillion package. Well, there's two senators, the Democrats, that are not going along with it at this point, because of the overwhelming costs. And plus, the states they live in are very, let's say, Republican-leaning, red states. So instead of the president accepting their vote of no, they're delaying the vote, and they're using coercion tactics, activists, all kinds of threats. And that's business as usual in Washington, D.C. So your vote doesn't count, apparently, when you don't go with the rest of the party. So I'm going to bring some guests in tonight. And my first guest is Jared Shelton. We're going to talk about this. By the way, everybody, we're getting back into the cooler weather. And everybody, and we're having warm, unseasonably warm weather here in Ohio. But everybody take care of yourself. Read a good book from Brownie Fox Publishing. That's my publishing company, by the way. And we have some new books out. And that always works well with a fire and a cup of coffee. All right, first guest will be and is Mr. Jared Shelton. Jared Shelton, welcome aboard. He's going to talk about this issue with me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So Jared Shelton is a political writer, number one. He's also a speaker, and he's an author. Done a lot of things in your life, and one day he wants to be a restaurant tycoon. But most of all, he's a patriot. And everybody I have on here, I consider patriots, and they usually turn out that way. I haven't had any that snuck through yet. So Jared, I'm going to bring in the other two guests, and we're going to all have a talk about what we're seeing and witnessing up in D.C. Fighting this $3 trillion bill. This bill, by the way, has mileage taxes, so it's going to be more expensive to do anything in this country, especially truckers, or if you go to have a job, you're not working from home, you're going to be taxed the daylights out of you for that. What do you think about that, Jared?
Well, thank you for the invite and the introduction. Let me just start by saying it is a catastrophe in Washington, D.C. right now. But you think about it, every time we have Democrats in the White House, America is in a catastrophe. Every time, it never fails. Anytime the Democrats get in power, this is what happens, chaos. And it's, you know, I would like to say that it's just incompetence, but in reality, it is, everything's done on with purpose. You know, you look at everything, the border, that's done with purpose. They want to transform America. This was part of their goal, was transforming America. They're not even being secret about it now. They're telling it. You know, they're openly saying, you know, we were transforming America. That was what the whole purpose of allowing these, you know, 2-3 million new voters into America, while they're not voters now, but future voters, because the next thing's going to come is pathway to citizenship. And they already said it. We can almost win Texas now that we're changing the demographics. That's what they are saying. So everything's done with purpose. They're complete fools.
I totally agree with you there, because the border is so conveniently next to Texas, so they just open it up, they don't close it, and they get all these votes, same thing with Arizona. But it's still amazing how these southern states are red states still, even despite all those years. And I think people don't realize that a lot of people from South America are more conservative, and they're Catholic, so they don't believe a lot of the things. So this may not work into their favor, may not. But, you know, all they needed are the voting machines. Without the machines, they couldn't have won. But so I'm going to bring in our next guest. Go ahead.
I was just saying that was the whole point of the 2020 election was, you know, rigging the election to where they could win.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people don't play fair. So I'm bringing in my next guest. My next guest is Doobie Walden. Doobie Walden is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, also an Angel dad, who lost his son to an illegal alien. And I want to say hello, Doobie. How are you doing? How's it going tonight?
Good. How are you tonight, Kevin?
Great. And one of the things that, you know, through the night I'll be talking to you, we're both veterans, but, you know, you served in the Marine Corps. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on how this fight about the budget kind of negates everything you fought for as a veteran in the wars you were involved in, and all the campaigns and everything. This is a slight against the Constitution and the constitutional rights of our senators and congressmen. It's total coercion. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think they've probably just completely gone off the deep end. Violate constitutional rights left and right, things that you and I both fought to defend. And
I totally agree.
Each one that we give up is another one we'll never get back.
Yes, and the slower they take them away, and the more often, just like the vaccination shots, where that goes against the Constitution. So they can take the next step. Pretty easy. The next step is too easy, right? Because they've already set the precedent. You've already accepted this, and this comes over, and you're going to let the next thing happen too. You don't know what's going to happen. And people are showing their medical records against HIPAA laws.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
the
you're
medical
exactly
records.
Right.
Now they want to know what everybody's bank account's doing.
Yes. That's next. Yes. Don't move any money. If you got $600 in your bank account, they're going to be watching everything. And the IRS will be targeting.
No such thing as privacy under this regime. I wouldn't call it an administration. I call it a regime.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people do. You see that. A lot of places. So I'm going to bring in our next guest, our last guest. So our last guest tonight is Pastor Ronson Hall from Dallas, Texas. Is that right, sir?
Actually, down in San Antonio. I was born in Dallas.
Ah.
So you're close.
I was born in Dallas. Yeah, I love San Antonio.
Yeah, hey, go Spurs. Been here since 1969. My dad was an Air Force vet and retired from the Air Force, and we just settled down here way back in 1969.
Wow.
I've been here ever since, yeah.
So you were an Air Force brat, too?
I was an Air Force, proud Air Force brat.
Yes.
Treated well and done well. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir, same here. Yeah, and I just want to tell everybody, you are an awesome patriot. I met you through the late, great Henry Essick, who's a good friend of mine here at Dayton.
Oh, man, bless his memory. Bless your heart for mentioning him, and bless his memory. You talking about a patriot. Elder Henry Essick was a patriot extraordinaire, and he was not ashamed.
No, sir. He led it. He showed it everywhere, and he was quite a man.
Yeah.
He was larger than life character. So
yes, he was.
I appreciated being with him. I've seen him so many times, you know, at different places, and we've talked a lot. And yeah, he's a good guy. He was a good guy, and you know, God bless his wife and family. But
yes.
I want to ask you. What's your take on this budget bill?
You know, one of the things that I look at, the angle I look at, Kevin, about this budget bill is that it is imperative, and a lot of people don't realize this, even people that profess to be in the church don't realize that the thing that's going to help this crooked, wicked budget bill to thrive or to prosper or to get past is blindness. It's the blindness of the people that this administration and other people are counting on. When you don't have the eyes to see, when you are intellectually dishonest and you promote intellectual dishonesty, those are the things, that's the thing you need to get these kind of things passed. And remind me how many pages are in this bill, and who is ever going to really read it? How many pages are in this thing?
I don't know the exact number. I'm sure there's thousands, as usual.
There's thousands.
Hey, Jared, do you know that? Anyone else?
It's about 5,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of pages. You know, and I know that nobody up there, maybe their assistants or pages or read the page, no pun intended, but nobody, none of the people pushing this even read this thing. They just know the things that they hid off and stuck in there that they're trying to get through. And they're counting on the blindness of the general public the head turning of the general public to help them to do these things. And then I tell you what, if this thing goes or gets passed, we're going to see some very, very dark days and some sad days.
Yes, we will. A lot of bad things that we don't even know about. I don't know everything that's in that bill, and neither do the people who get it. But, you know, they get paid off, or they get something for their state. And you know, some people are just afraid to confront the leadership, and that should be a crime in itself.
Yep. Yep.
They're strictly voted along the party line.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, they
and
are.
And so, yep. It's a time for us. I'm so glad, Kevin, for people like you and programs and radio shows and the other guests. So glad for you all, because it's those people that it's going to take to stand up and to talk and to speak and to be heard that's going to curtail this thing. You know, I believe that.
Absolutely. Numerous times.
You look at Joe
Manchin. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we can't be the silent majority anymore. People got to stand up.
That's right.
They've got to let their voice be heard.
Right.
You've got to demand. You have to demand that your voice be heard. You can't take no for an answer. We've got to double down, not shut up. We got to double down.
Yep.
That's right, Jared. What are you going to say, Jared?
I was saying, you look at Joe Manchin. He's been in office for, this is his third term, and I've heard he's retiring next year. I think he said this is his last year. But he's in one of the deepest red states, West Virginia. And the people there, they still vote for him because Joe Manchin, while he is a party guy, he votes with the Democrats about 95% of the time. But the 5% that he doesn't vote are things that's very important to West Virginia, things like guns and abortion and things that are very passionate with the voters there, much like they are here in my state of Arkansas. But he does vote 95% of the time. And Democrats usually leave him alone because they know without Joe Manchin in West Virginia, they'll never have another senator from that state again. It just won't happen. It's one of the deepest red states. So typically they just allow Joe Manchin to do his own thing and not criticize him, because they never really needed his vote. They never really needed his vote. Now they need his vote. So without his vote, their whole agenda is done. They can't pass anything without his vote and cinemas. So, you know, now they are coming out knives and guns blazing after Joe Manchin because they need his vote now. It can't be just Joe, you just vote how your constituents want you to vote. You vote your heart. Now it's you got to toe the party line or we're going to come after you. We're going to attack you. And Joe Manchin, he has to be strong enough to fight off. Will he? I don't know. I've got a friend in West Virginia who assured me that he's not going to cave to anything. His number is $1.5 trillion. He's not going a penny higher. We'll see. You know, things work out. They sometimes work crooked backyard deals. And since he's not planning on running again, he may just go ahead and do, you know, what the party wants. But we'll see. But if I was Joe Manchin, here's what I would do. I would come out. I would call a press conference, and I would come out with a Democrat hat on, and then in my pocket I would have a Republican hat, and then I would do it like a signing day deal where I take my hat, Democrat hat, throw it off, say I cannot support the Democrat Party no more, and I would throw that Republican hat on, much like a college recruit does on announcement day. And I would make a big deal out of it and just tell the Democratic Party, screw y'all, I'm not with y'all anymore. But he won't do that.
You know, right. It's happened before, though. It could happen.
Sure.
I mean, they're
sure.
facing so much abuse. I mean, they're going after Sinema in the bathroom at where the college sure. teaches at ASU.
Yeah, and what
and
is
on
that?
The aircraft that she's flying on? Yeah, they got activists after her all the time.
Where's the women's rights group that says, why are you following a woman in the bathroom with a camera? Where's the women's rights group that speaks out against this? Oh, they're funded by the Democratic Party, so they're not going to say anything.
Now, when it's when it's a Democrat,
right?
After a Democrat, it's okay. But had that been a Republican follow her in the bathroom over a Republican issue, it'd have been front page news.
What do you say, Pastor Hall?
I'm listening and I'm enjoying listening, but the last comment just struck me because we all know that this thing has been just rife with hypocrisy since November 3rd, 2020 and before. It's the hypocrisy is just a stench. I look at the things that they run around and try to freak out about now. And then I look at what's being gotten away with, for example, and I look at I haven't forgotten, and I know y'all haven't either. I haven't forgotten the way that they treated Kavanaugh in that. I haven't forgotten that. I remember the players. I remember what they said. I remember them chasing. I remember all of that. Now all of a sudden, the Me Too movement has gotten strangely silent when it has to do with their own folks on the left. When allegations are made on the left, you know, it's a horrible thing. But hypocrisy is the culprit, and that's what we're witnessing right now is a whole lot of hypocrisy.
Absolutely,
I agree with hypocrisy. You know, like Republicans, we were for the Me Too movement before the Me Too movement. We were all for women not being attacked. You know, we were against Bill Clinton when he was doing it. The biggest perpetrator of it all was Bill Clinton. We were against that, but for some reason Democrats supported that, and now all of a sudden they need a slogan like Me Too to say we don't support harassing women. Well, Republicans have always been for not harassing women, but now the Democrat Party, they're slow to the party, and they're slow to catch up. So now they're finally wanting to get on board with the Me Too movement, except for when it's their own.
Right. Exactly.
Whatever fits their narrative, that's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly.
When it was Clinton, it didn't fit their narrative. He was their president.
Sure.
Exactly.
Touché, so, you're right.
Somebody had mentioned this new push for going after people who have $600 or more in their bank account, and I'll tell you this: who cares? Who would care about how? I mean, Kevin and y'all gentlemen on here, I don't care how you spend your $600. Who cares about $600? $600 or more is a drop in the bucket. But notice people
right.
are running around talking about that, but what about? What about these lifetime politicians that I think they make what is it some of these senators that make around the Congress people make $174,000 a year And then you get 10 or 15 years later, and all of a sudden they are they're multimillionaires. They're 20 or 30 million. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be investigated. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be looked into. Like, where did you get all that money? You only make 174 grand. You know.
Right.
Not me and you and other people. Let's look into their and see what they did with their $600. What a bunch of hooey.
Yesterday it was announced that Donald Trump, his wealth went down, and he's no longer in the Forbes top 400 and wealthiest people in America. Now, he's still a rich guy, but he's not in the top 400. So you think about all the other presidents before him who left office, and they become – their wealth increases astronomically. Look at Obama, Clinton. Their wealth just grew by massive amounts, whereas Donald Trump – it goes down. So where's the corruption there? You know, everybody said going in that Donald Trump's going to have all the money. You know, when Donald Trump was running for office, it was said, well, Donald Trump, he's just going to make all the rules. He's going to change the rules and regulations to where he gets all the money. His money, his wealth went down.
Wow. Right. He took a salary.
Yeah, exactly. He never took a salary.
He never took any.
Well, he couldn't be paid off either.
No. Right. He never took any of that presidential money, did he?
No, he used politics to represent their constituents. They went in for pride. They were there to represent the people that they lived with. Now they go into politics to become rich.
Yeah.
Why they're so worried about keeping their seats.
Yep.
And you notice it's how Nancy Pelosi and a lot of those senators, you know, notice that she's up 10,000% on the stock market. You know, and nobody does that, not even Amazon. So they've got all the inside information, so watch what they do, and you invest what they're investing in, you do pretty well. So I know.
Look at the millions of dollars her husband's corporation got. The millions
yes,
of dollars
her husband
of
also,
bailout money that her husband's corporation
right.
got.
And her husband bought 3 million shares of AMC, too, recently.
Yeah.
So wow. Watch what they do.
That's a prime example of somebody that is in there strictly for the power and the money. Nancy Pelosi is a perfect example. At her age, what is she, 80? At her age, what business does she have in there? She's got multi-millions of dollars. Her grandkids are set for life. What does she need to still be in there for? Because she's not doing anything productive for this country. She's definitely not doing anything productive for her district, San Francisco. That's one of the biggest crime-ridden, homeless population, filthy cities in the country.
Right.
Power and money.
Well, power and money, and she wants that agenda to go through, and she wants to be president one day, or some kind of way. But you know she's there because I wrote an article on this last year. She's part of the California values that they talk about, which is actually from Jim Jones, the cult leader. He's the guy who used to get all those people elected by flooding the precincts with his people. That's part of the – and she used to worship him, and so did other people in that era. They used to think he was the next coming of Christ, and they were fanatics about it. That's what the California values are. So she's not right in the head. You got to remember that. She is out to push agendas from that time because she keeps bringing it up. She's got some kind of crazy plan up ahead. That's what I know about her. And Kamala's one of those disciples, too. If you notice, and Doobie, I think you brought up – no. Ronson, you brought up, with the Kavanaugh hearings. Notice how Kamala could not stand up to anybody that went to the Supreme Court as a nominee. She could not – she doesn't have the same brain power. I noticed that. That was, like, glaring to me. They made her look stupid.
A slipper way into politics.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not, you know, if you're a public defender or you're a public prosecutor, you're not anywhere near as good as anybody who does it for money, for real money. So that says a lot. I know she barely made it through school. I'm not trying to be mean to her, but she's not the person people think she is. She's not very bright.
No. No. She's not.
And that's why I don't see her.
No,
she had to drop out of the primary.
And I think
she
had to
drop out of the primary early because only 1% of the Democratic voters even liked her. I mean, she couldn't even make it through Super Tuesday. She couldn't even make it to Super Tuesday. I mean, she had to drop out early because nobody liked her. Everybody rejected her.
The only reason she is where she's at today is two reasons. One, she's a woman, and two, she's supposedly black.
Yeah, she's not black. She has no black blood in her.
No. Yeah, all that is true. And I tell you, if you all have ever spoken to someone who is a resident of California or who was a resident while she was doing what she did in California, I don't know about you all, but I've spoken to several people, honest folks who were residents, and nobody had anything encouraging to say about her. You know, even if they didn't talk mean about her, the first thing that would come out of many people's mouths were like, man, the things that she did here, the people's lives that she ruined when she was here and all the stuff, you know, I mean, to a person, that's all I ever heard about her, even before she got in that primary. It's like, she is not anything and I think, maybe it's a toss-up, maybe it's debatable, but I think maybe the biggest embarrassment of this whole thing, when you put Biden and Harris together, I think the biggest embarrassment has probably been Kamala. People are strangely silent about the prospect of Biden some kind of way having to sit out, go down, and Kamala Harris being the next president of the United States. Even the people who were running around chanting, you know, chucks and pearls, even they don't have much to say about that because they're afraid and they're embarrassed. So, you know, the hypocrisy goes
presently
on.
That's more terrifying than the situation we're presently in.
Yeah.
Do you know, and do you know the most? Yes. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, and what your guest just said. Many people have said that would be honest, that would be intellectually honest. They're like, man, that's more scary than even Biden. And Biden is scary to the 10th power, you know.
Right.
That's probably the likely reason that he chose her as his nominee. You know, because he knew the plan. They were gonna make sure that he won. So if you find somebody even worse than you, you know, who's going to be rushed to get you out? You know, I mean, you know, like I've seen, you know, I've seen Republicans who are, you know, right, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, is trying to impeach Biden. I'm thinking, why would you want to impeach Biden? He's totally incompetent. His party's, you know, turning against him. We would get Kamala Harris, so it's not like we have anything better off. And if you impeach Biden, you rally their base right before the 2022 election, where they're going to get annihilated. So just live and let live.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But all I hear is, you know, when people talk about, you know, impeaching Biden, and they look at the prospect of what you just said about Harris stepping up, and now people are like, no, leave him alone, leave him where he is. You know,
right.
The way I see it, our government is rotten from the top down, okay? And that's the way it's going. It's rotted from the top down. So the only way that we're going to correct it is from the bottom up. We're going to have to start with grassroots, okay? Everybody's going to have to get together and start with grassroots. You're talking mayors and governors and state representatives. And this 2022 election is important.
Yeah, very.
Okay, let me tell you guys. Okay, what's going on? If you've seen this in the news lately, Harris is being played on Iranian TV for going against the funding for the Israel Iron Dome. Twice she's been featured on there. How bad of a vice president you have to be for that to happen? She should be impeached immediately. The other thing about Harris, where is she on these negotiations? Where has she been?
Where's she been? She's supposed to be the czar of the southern border. She's supposed to be the southern border czar. Where is she at on that situation?
Yeah.
Did you see where she went to the border, and it wasn't really the southern border?
She didn't go
close
to the border. She didn't go close to the border.
Right.
Yeah. Let me tell you, living here in Texas, the people that were watching, I want to let y'all know That's all people talked about, because the people that knew, she was like hundreds of miles from the border, from the border. And people that knew, they knew that she never really went down there or made a trip down there, never did, you know. And the people, let me, Kevin, if I may, ask y'all, enlighten me. I mean, from y'all, do you have any leftist friends or any Democratic friends who are honest enough, who have come to you or you've heard them in a group where they've looked at you and looked you in the eye and said, you know what, this is a mess. Do you have anybody on the left that you know that is honest enough to have done that?
Nope.
I can speak to that really quickly. I had a friend. He was a friend of mine on Facebook. I wouldn't really know him personally. I mean, I knew who he was, but we wasn't friends outside of Facebook. But anyway, leading into the 2020 election, you know, we would have debates every day or, you know, a couple of days a week. But anyway, then after the election, he ended up deleting me. And so, you know, the vaccine mandate was coming in. He sent me a message and asked me if I was planning on taking the vaccine. I said, no, I'm not planning on taking the vaccine. And he was asking me about losing my job. I said, you know, that's okay. I got other plans. You know, I don't necessarily need my job. You know, I like it, but, you know, I don't have to have it. I've got other sources of income. And so I asked him, do you support all this that's going on? Do you like the chaos at the border? He said, no. I said, what about, the high gas prices? No, I don't like that. And so I just went down a long list of things that's going on. And every one of them he opposed. Every one of them he opposed. I said, so do you regret voting for Biden? He said, no, not at all. He said, I'm happy I voted for Biden. I'd do it again. I said, really? I said, so you're against everything he's done, but you're happy you voted for him? He said, yeah, because it would have been worse with Trump. I mean, that's the mentality of people.
That was it. They didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah. They didn't vote for Joe Biden. They voted against Donald Trump. When Donald Trump
they didn't win either.
All of his supporters were very vocal about the fact that they voted for him and they supported him. Where in any kind of media, any kind of press, do you see anybody that voted for Joe Biden standing up bragging about how happy they are they voted for him and what a great job he's doing? Nowhere.
Yep.
Nobody's bragging about they voted for Joe Biden.
Nope.
They're bragging about they've got Donald Trump out of the White House. That's what they're bragging about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Man, we got rid of those mean tweets.
I'd take a mean tweet for some $1.75 gas any day of the week.
Yep.
Incredible. Incredible. And where are we now? I mean, things are just getting worse exponentially. Every month, something weird and new is happening. I don't know if we're going to get past this debt ceiling or not. I'm not sure what they're working on that. They're not responsible.
I'm ashamed of our leadership. I'm absolutely ashamed of what's happening.
Right.
I'd only start on Afghanistan.
Here's what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, like the hardcore Democratic base, they don't think Joe Biden's doing a bad job. This is a success because he is doing what the Democratic Party wants. He is flooding America with future voters. That's, you know, if they have their way, you know, they'll hook them on entitlements from day one, and then they'll send them a nice little card saying compliments to the Democratic Party, and here's where you're going to go vote at. And then they'll try to hook them on entitlements from day one, and then give them pathway to citizenship. And as long as they vote the right way, they're good. And so, you know, that's where we are. And so everything is going as planned for the Democrats. But, you know, that's not about making America better. That was never the point of this exercise. It was changing America, completing Barack Obama's ideal of transforming America. This is what from the get-go.
He is the president now. So, I mean, that's a mistake. Remember Nancy said that? Build back better? Yep. It sounds like an Obama kind of phrase, isn't it?
Yep.
This is Obama's third term.
Yeah,
that's exactly what
Obama's third term.
That's what that. Somebody admitted the other day. Somebody in the cabinet or around the present cabinet admitted just a week or two ago that Joe talks to Obama frequently, on a frequent basis. Just that alone. That alone is indicative of somebody who's being led.
It wasn't too awful long ago that someone interviewed Barack Obama and asked him, would he ever, you know, if he could, would he be interested in running for a third term? And he said, not as president, he said, but I would like to be a behind-the-scenes president where I don't have to be out there, but I make all the decisions. And then it seems really eerie, like kind of the way things are going now. Somebody's behind the scene that's pulling all the strings. Barack Obama, Susan Rice, all these acolytes that's pulling all the string and making all the decisions, but having the point man be someone who was supposedly a moderate, ran as a moderate, was the most moderate president ever, supposedly.
He's a scapegoat, a fall guy, and a puppet.
Valerie Jarrett, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because she ran that show.
Yeah, I saw the interview. Yeah. I was gonna mention that, and I'm glad somebody else did. But yeah, he said in that interview that he'd want to be behind the scenes, running the show.
Right. So, what do you guys think? What do you guys think is going to happen next with this budget thing, this Green Deal? Because there's some really scary things, and you know, West Virginia is all about coal and oil. There's going to be some. He can't go back to his home state if he lets this go through. He can't have any Green Deal. That's not going to happen. So I can see him going off in the distance.
I don't see any way that the $3.5 trillion gets passed. I mean, this is a infight that you better be ready to watch. You better have your popcorn ready, get a comfortable seat. Because the squad, the progressives in the squad, is not going to bend. They're not. They want more than 3.5. They want 5.5 or 8.5.
Right.
They don't want going less. You know, they've already said, why would we take a little bit of something when we want all of it? And Bernie Sanders already said 3.5 is not enough. So they're not going to come closer to Joe Manchin, and I don't believe he is going to go any higher than 1.5. That's what he said his number is. Now, you can see somewhere a compromise, him going as high as 2, but I don't see the squad going down to 2. I mean, the least the squad would go maybe is 3, but I don't even see them coming off 3.5. This is going to be a fight for – this is going to be a political infight among the Democrat Party that is going to be must-see TV.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Manchin didn't come out and say that, though. Manchin opens the door to deal $1.9 trillion. Manchin is open to that. Oh, by the way, Manchin already told Schumer weeks ago that he wouldn't go over his number, and Schumer never said anything. So a lot of confusion there. Excuse me. Go ahead, Mr. Ronson Hall.
Again, I was just agreeing, and your one guest already said what I was thinking about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, who is just a leech, you know, in this country, in my opinion, had already said, you know, this is not enough. This $3.5 trillion is not enough. We need 6 or 7. But to answer the original question, where do you think this is going? I think that this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out, bloody, bloody mess. But I think that it's going to be a bloody mess in the sense that it's going to explode and expose a lot of things. Now, I may be the eternal optimist here. I don't know. But I think that at the end of the day, I don't think that this thing is going to pass. Not in this form. Not even $3.5 trillion. I don't think it's going to pass.
I agree.
And I think that when it does not pass, it's going to expose a whole lot more stuff, and there are going to be some people that are going to become a little bit wiser. You know, that's what I'm thinking that's going to happen, because it's so outrageous. Who have you met that doesn't think that this is outrageous? They're printing money. We're in debt.
Yeah.
They're printing money. You know, who in their right mind or halfway right mind doesn't think that this appeal is not absolutely absurd and outrageous? So I think it's going to ultimately fail.
Well,
no,
you say
right.
That you're the eternal optimist and that you hope that people open their eyes. I've been hoping people would open their eyes for years now. And you just find that there are so many people that wander around blindly following the flock. You know, they have no idea. They don't care.
True.
As long as it don't jump up and bite them on the back end, they just don't care. And
true.
People have to open their eyes. That's why I say you can't be the silent majority anymore. You know, you got to care. This is
true.
Our future you're talking about. This is the future of this country, the greatest political experiment that's ever been achieved.
And
that's
this infighting, it's going to spill over into the 2022 elections. It's going to be a bloodbath, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, in the House, you can see 50 to 60 seats lost by the Democrat. Easy. These swing districts, they're not going to go Democrat. They're going to every one of the swing districts is going Republican. I can assure you of that. And then you look at the Senate, Arizona, Mark Kelly, he's gone. Colorado, Michael Bennett, he's probably gone. Georgia, Raphael Warnock, he's gone. Nevada, she's gone. And New Hampshire is not even. I feel like New Hampshire, she only won by 0.1%. As Massey, I can't even think of the lady's name now, but she only won by 0.1% in New Hampshire. And, you know, New Hampshire's live free or die, so, you know, they don't like what's going on. So you can see easily five or six Senate seats going. You can see following this, you can see the House the Republicans having a super majority in the House. Now, the Senate, obviously, that's probably not going to be, they're not going to have 60 senators just because simple math, out of the 34 senators up for election, 20 of them are Republicans, so the numbers already stack up against the Republicans. But, you know, in these Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Nevada, New Hampshire, those states are going to be fights and bloodbaths. You know, I just feel like they're not going to win those.
I believe that. I stand with you, and I believe that. Hey, and I would say voting machine or no voting machine, it's still going to be a bloodbath. I just believe it.
Everybody saw the landslide win for Trump in 2020. That was a thing. Everybody knew Trump was just gonna romp Joe Biden, and look how that turned out.
Yep. Yep.
So
they could take care of that now. I hope.
I don't count on any forecasted landslides. I don't think that we can count on that. As bad as they are, people continue to vote for them.
Right. You remember what happened in California a couple weeks ago when they had the runoff for Nancy? Yeah, the recall. So anyway, there's three candidates that ran for that, and I had one of them on last week or my last show to talk about that. Yeah. And if you watch the videos of what happened in California, like from 1 second to the next, the numbers changed right on the screen. So everything was rigged out there, too, and it's very disappointing when we actually had people, the governor was going to be a Republican out there, and it's just that they want it so bad. This is why Nancy's still in, one of the reasons. So
Larry Elder had that locked
up. I mean, it's scary. Yeah, he did. So it's scary that this happens, and, one of my friends, Rhonda Furen, is actually one of the candidates there. So what happened was, Elder – he really conceded like 8 o'clock that night, so he would have been out. So she had a really good chance of getting that. Just things like this are scary. They're not right, and nobody says a thing about it. And they don't investigate. You have to do it yourself, just like you know they're doing right now in Arizona and all these other states. The American people are shut out. Right.
The scary thing is they've got the elections so screwed up and so rigged that if we don't start fixing that, we're never going to win another election.
Exactly. And
they
know that.
Another Republican win an election.
And they know that.
Somebody said before, this starts at the ground up. And, you know, the state houses, states, the Constitution clearly states that states, not federal government, has the authority and the power of how the elections are held in that state.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be mail-in or whatever. You know, the states decide that. Now, in 2020, they used COVID to get around some of these rules, and that's part of the reason that's how one way they rigged the election. But now, you know, these states are coming with, you know, like Georgia. They somewhat fixed there. It wasn't quite as tough as I'd like to see, but they somewhat fixed their bill to where this wouldn't happen again. What happened in Georgia, where you see suitcases rolling out, it's just in the middle of the day. And then, of course, if you remember, the All-Star game got changed from a predominantly black neighborhood
yep.
where black businesses would get help to a 99% white neighborhood, which I thought where mm-hmm. the state where they have more relaxed voting laws than Georgia's were.
Yeah.
So I thought that
well,
was
now
kind
California
of
wants to go. California wants to go strictly mail-in vote. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to go 100% mm-hmm. mail-in vote.
Boy, they can manipulate that.
Well hmm.
I want to make a confession. I haven't. Maybe it's not as odd as I think it is. I haven't watched. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating this. I haven't watched a lick of cable news or regular news since the night of November 3rd, 2020.
That's about the only thing I watch is Tucker Carlson. That's the only news program I watch is Tucker Carlson. And then sometimes I'll watch a little bit of Sean Hannity, but he kind of gets on my nerves.
I've not watched. Yeah. I don't watch the news on television. It's depressing, and it's all so slanted. And
yeah.
I use Breitbart, Law Enforcement Today, some other independent news sources for my information. And I'm smart enough to do my own research. When
yeah.
they state something and they put a website up there, this is where we found this. I go to the website and I read it. Do a little independent research, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up.
Yep.
Yeah.
The news
right.
is not news anymore. The news is not news anymore. I tell people all the time, when I was a child, there was a man that came on my television every night by the name of Walter Cronkite. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this happened today. Good night.
Yep.
He didn't tell you how to feel about it. He didn't tell you how to respond to it. He didn't tell you who you should support. There was no opinion in it. It was news. There's no news anymore.
Exactly.
It's opinion.
It's propaganda.
Yeah,
it's definitely absolutely. Propaganda.
Yep, yep. There's another. If you all don't mind, there's a perspective, probably an obvious perspective that from my standpoint as a pastor, I've been pastoring for like 24 years now, and
awesome.
one of the many concerns that I have pastoring the church and pastoring. People and you know the word of God and those strong things is one of the things that I met with being a black pastor, being an African American pastor. I get kind of ostracized where I am. Probably Kevin probably knows this better than anybody. Just reading my stuff, I get ostracized. There's this thing, you know, tribalism in itself is not necessarily bad, but racial tribalism, when it comes to just look around and ask yourself, is this wrong or is this right? But when you get racial tribalism wrapped up in that, and everything is based on, you know, when you can't even think for yourself. But you have to look to see what Black Lives Matter said before you can think for yourself. You know, you got a problem. You've got a big problem there. And you call yourself, you say that you're part of the church of God, but you're looking to secular folks who don't believe God is real and don't even care about you, you're looking to see what their answer is before you even answer. And you're the one that's supposed to be the believer. So that's a big problem for me. And I run into not only folks, but other preachers that do not like me, because I tell people all the time, listen, you better watch and don't run with the herd. You know, don't look at your paint job, your skin color, and run with other people just because their paint job matches your paint job. You know, I know a lot of people that their paint job matches mine. They can't think their way out of a paper bag. I'm sure y'all can say the same. You know.
No, I agree. You know, and that's very sad. You know, you see, like, people get called Uncle Toms and whatever. You can't know it. She's called Uncle Tom because she doesn't subscribe to what, you know, the Democrat Party wants her to do.
She's not a victim.
Exactly. No. I mean, that's what the Democratic Party, and that's what critical race theory is, this Black Lives Matter. That's what it's all about. It tells black people, you can't succeed unless the Democratic Party and government helps you out. You can't make it unless we help you. Look to us. You can't make it without us. And you know why you can't make it? Because Whitey, that's the one who's your problem. Not anything else. There's no other problem except white guy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
People try to tell the black community that you can't make it unless government helps you. That is truly sad. You know, I know everybody's individuals. I know good white people. I know bad white people. I know good black people. I know bad black people. I know good, you know, Hispanic people. I know bad Hispanic people. It's who you are. We're individuals. We're not a group. We're not warring tribes.
You can't throw everybody in the same barrel.
You can't.
I did 10 years in the Marine Corps. I did 10 years.
So, Pastor,
I served.
Yes.
I served with black folks. I served with white folks. I served with Hispanics, Orientals, and the one thing about the Marine Corps is there's no place for racism in there. You have to be able to fully 100% put your life in another man's hands and trust that he'll take care of you, and he has to trust that you'll take care of him. And I treat people the way they treat me.
And listen, I bet you if you ever needed a blood transfusion out there in the field, it wouldn't have mattered, would it, who you were getting it from?
Wouldn't have made no difference.
No, not at all.
If they were O positive, I got blood.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the Democratic Party finds it so necessary to divide this country.
It's division.
To keep us divided and to keep us fighting against one another so that we don't watch what they're doing with the other hand.
Exactly. That's exactly it. If we can get y'all fighting, then you won't notice us padding our own pockets. All you will be doing is worried about, you know, having the black community worry about the white community and the white community worry about the black community and so forth, and nobody worries about the politician and how they're screwing everybody.
I think all the hate groups,
so past,
I don't care if it's – go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
I don't care what hate group it is. Okay, I don't care if it's Black Lives Matter. I don't care if it's Antifa. I don't care if it's the KKK. Okay? They're a hate group, and they should be abolished. They should not be deciding how this country is run according to their hate.
Exactly.
People just have to learn.
I totally agree.
To learn. Love one another. All right? Get along.
That's it.
Stop.
We're all
stop
humans.
Stop letting people tell you how to feel about somebody else by the color of their skin or by their nationality.
Yep.
Yeah, like, what does that matter? What does the color of somebody's skin have to do with anything? Like, that's the least important thing that I feel like, you know, but
it's primitive, isn't
it? I try this, just watch sometime. If there's ever a Democrat introducing, say, like, it could be a black neurosurgeon, a world-renowned, famous neurosurgeon.
Dr. Ben
Carson.
Accomplished
millions of things.
Yeah.
The very first thing they're going to tell you is he's a black man.
Is he black.
That's what they want you to focus on. As if like that's some kind of accomplishment because he's a black man and a black neurosurgeon. As if that's some kind of accomplishment, like, oh, look at this. Finally a black neurosurgeon. What does it matter? The most important thing about somebody is not the color of their skin.
Yeah, like they've ascended, you know?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Like, look at them. They finally made it, you know.
I went to public school. Everybody had the right to go to public school. If you couldn't afford books or if you couldn't afford lunch, there was programs for that. But everybody had the opportunity to go get the same education I've got. I ain't no rocket scientist, but I'm smart enough to pour pee out of a boot.
Right.
I don't remember what the guy's name was who spoke at a school board meeting, and he was a doctor maybe. But he was some kind of professional of some sort, and he was speaking out against critical race theory. And
I remember that.
He went viral, and everybody was just so amazed at how this guy went. And he basically lambasted him, you know, for, you think that I work hard, I'm smart? You think just because I'm black, I'm dumb? You know, that was kind of what he was saying, was that, you know, all black people are not dumb. And then you look at, like, UCLA, they were going to suspend a professor because he wouldn't grade on a curve for black people, as if they can't do the same thing.
Right.
I mean, you talk about who's racist. If you're a professor or, you know, whatever, and you say, like in Oregon, I think it's Oregon or Washington, one of them two crazy places, they want to do away with math because Democrats. Because they say that black people can't do math. I mean, it is totally racist what they say. I mean, their words are racist when they say, well, we got to do away with math because black people can't do
voter
math.
Voter ID.
Are you kidding me?
Voter ID. Black people don't have the access to get an ID. Come on, man. How bad is that slandering? How bad is that slandering?
Yeah. It's
the African American race.
Exactly.
But you know what? Black people will take it. And Pastor Ronson Hall, you could back me up on this. Black people take it. When Biden says they don't know how to use computers, nobody says anything. Where's the outrage?
Right.
It's on the back of blacks. Who justifies the LGBTQ, whatever it is? Black people. And they added that onto the BLM charter. You know why? Because white people won't do anything about it.
Yep.
They won't protest. Yep.
Well, and I think that's what's going on with this invasion at the southern border and all these refugees that we're bringing into this country right now. Somebody said it earlier about they're building their voter base. And that's because for so many years, the black and Latino people in America voted Democrat because they thought they had been taught for so long that they couldn't survive without the government. Well, they're wising up. And they're realizing we're not stupid. We can go out and do anything anybody else can do. And they're changing their vote.
Exactly.
So now the Democrats got to have a new voter base. They got to have people that they brought in here that are dependent upon them for income, dependent upon them for Medicare, Medicaid, free college. They're building a voter base.
Exactly.
Right. Now, Doobie, now that you're talking a little bit, let's talk about Afghanistan for a second, just a real quick one. So what happened there? So that should have been automatic impeachment for several people, for removals, in my opinion, because that's strategic bankruptcy right there. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, I was on the Afghanistan program.
When you have the commander of the United States Armed Forces, General Milley, that's more concerned with getting Trump voters out of the military and allowing transgenderism in the military and the military paying for sex changes, and he's more concerned with that than he is with the security of the United States, he should have been removed immediately.
Exactly.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And it's a strategy thing where, I don't know if you guys know this, I was on that program, that Afghanistan program for the, you know, working at the base, and there's none of this should have happened. None of this was going to happen. This was not even planned. All this just, I mean, they should have been out by May 1st. Because they didn't get out by May 1st, then the Taliban retaliated, and all these things fell apart right in front of our eyes. So there's no conscience. There's no responsibility. There's no adult at the wheel in the White House. This is ridiculous because this is like the most epic military fail of my lifetime. Besides, this is worse than Vietnam, in my opinion.
Mark Milley was so concerned with white rage instead of worrying about what's going on in Afghanistan, and then he's calling China and telling them, well, if something happens, we're going to let you know ahead of time before we bomb you, and we're not going to bomb you.
Right.
But if we do, we'll let you know ahead of time.
Listen, I spent 10 years in the Marine Corps. I achieved the rank of E5 sergeant. I'm just that close to E6, okay? I was never a general. I was never a lieutenant colonel. And even I know that our withdrawal from Afghanistan was backwards. Okay, anybody with any common sense,
right,
any kind of military knowledge whatsoever knows the first people to go are the United States citizens. They are the very first people that come out of there. The very last people that come out of there is our military. And they don't leave $85 billion worth of technology sitting on the ground.
Exactly.
And people say, the Taliban, they don't have anybody who knows how to fly them helicopters. They don't know anybody who knows how to operate those weapon systems. Yes, they do. Because we just spent 20 years training the Afghanistan army on how to use them, and they all defected and went to the Taliban.
So y'all are the experts on this, so I'm just listening to y'all. But let me ask just a standby, a man on the street question. Do these kind of things happen, like what happened in Afghanistan, if it wasn't on purpose? I mean,
no.
True.
No, somebody,
I agree.
Somebody somewhere in the chain of command knew the right thing to do. Somebody in that chain of command knew that what was happening
yes.
was backwards and wrong, and they were silenced.
Ah.
They were
well, that's
shut
what
up.
I was
they
telling y'all.
Look at the lieutenant colonel. Look at the lieutenant
from
colonel in the Marine Corps who spoke out, and they had him arrested and put in a psych ward because he spoke out against the way they did things in Afghanistan. He resigned his commission as a lieutenant colonel.
Right.
Well, that's what I was telling y'all from the beginning was everything about this administration was done with a purpose. Afghanistan, for example, that was done
yes.
with a purpose. It wasn't accidental. It
you
wasn't
can't screw
incompetence,
things up.
although there's definitely incompetence in the administration, but this was done intentionally.
You can't screw things up this bad this quick and it not be on purpose.
No.
Biden stood on the stage during the debates. Biden stood on the stage during the debates and said that one of the things he was going to do as president was open that southern border. Now, do you think that debate was not broadcast on the southern side of the border? Do you think people didn't watch that and say, hey, as soon as this man gets sworn in, here come caravans. Here come caravans wearing shirts that say Biden let us in. And they weren't written with a magic marker.
They sure did.
They weren't written with a magic marker on a white T-shirt. They were mass-produced.
Yeah, they were interviewing a lot of those people who were coming up here, and they were saying, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. We think Joe Biden, Joe Biden letting us in, Joe Biden this. I mean, this was done intentionally. Bring everybody in here, hook them on entitlements, and then get them to vote Democrat for the rest of their lives. It doesn't matter if America's better, as long as we put Democrats in power forever.
The thing that irritates me, all these illegals.
Notice that where they're putting settlement. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, notice where they're putting all these illegals at. They're not sending them to Martha's Vineyard. They're not sending them to Beverly Hills. They're sending them to Texas to try to change that state. Georgia. Florida. They're not sending them
to
Illinois, exactly. They're not sending them to the places where it doesn't matter. It's going to vote Democrat anyway. They're not going to Illinois. They're going to Wisconsin or
right.
Tennessee.
They're going to the swing state.
Florida. Exactly. So that they can change America.
I have a real sour taste in my mouth over the southern border, and I know that this is not what we're speaking about tonight, but I lost my son to an illegal in 2017. All right, he was a 21-year-old man, Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, and his life was taken by an illegal in this country. And what they're doing right now is nothing more than trying to colonize our country. And we've got to stop accepting everybody in the world's orphans. Okay, we are not the world's big brother. There's only so much room for so many people in this country.
Exactly.
We've got to stop.
Democrats forever, they said, well, America can't be the world's police. And I agree with that. But we also can't be the world's financer. We can't be the world's babysitter.
I agree.
Absolutely. The world's orphanage.
Exactly. You know, I have a heart for people who are in these other countries. I want to get out too, but we have a legal way of doing it. You know, I have a friend. I'm sure some of y'all may know her, Sabine Durden. She's an angel mother. She came here legally. She came here legally.
I just spent 3 days
with her.
She did it
the right way. Yeah, she did it the right way, and I write about her in my book because she did it the right way, and you know. Then people just come in our country, sneak in the back door.
She's a legal immigrant, and her son was taken by an illegal. How bad is that? All the Angel family stories are horrors, but some of them just really stand out, and that's one of them because Sabina was legal. She did it the right way, and her son, her only son, was taken by an illegal that had,
And that's why I wanted to write about her in my book. Specifically because she did it the right way. She showed how you should come to this country. And then like you were saying, every angel parent is a tragedy. But when you have one who did it the right way, who pursued the happiness that comes along with being an American citizen and wanted to come here from Germany to make a better life for her and her son, and she did it the right way, and then she gets punished, for lack of a better word.
Have you ever met a naturalized citizen that wasn't one of the most patriotic, American-loving people you ever met?
No, because
they came here because
they
wanted to be American. They came here to live the American dream. They wanted to be an American. These people that came across the southern border are not wanting to be an American. They don't want to assimilate. They don't want to become part of our society, part of our culture. They want to bring their stuff with them, make our country into the hellhole they just left.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Every naturalized citizen that I've ever met proudly and gleefully waved the flag, man. Proudly waved
the flag.
They came here. Yeah, me too. They came here and they worked hard and they took studied the material and did what they did. Because they love the country. Because they love the country.
Let's do this. Let's talk about this budget.
And Sabine is that way. Sabine is that way. She is just, patriotic. She loves America.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Depending on what source you listen to, we spend anywhere between $175 and $300 billion a year on people that we know are in this country illegally. We know for a fact that they are an illegal, and we're spending our money on it. Imagine what we could do for the naturalization process with just a portion of that money. Because it's not cheap to become a citizen. It costs anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 over a six, seven-year period out of your pocket. What could we do to aid in the naturalization process with all the money that we're spending on people we know are in this country illegally?
And the thing of it is, America is a generous nation. We let all the people, we let so many people in, so we are a loving and heartfelt nation that just does allow immigrants to come here. But again,
absolutely,
we want it done the right way. If correlate to your house, if somebody comes up to your house and says, "Hey, can I come in your house?" And you know them, you want to let them in, that's fine. But if you got somebody who's just coming in your back door without your knowledge, you're going to have a little problem with that.
Yeah, they're not a burglar. They're an undocumented visitor.
So they are not immigrants. Let's just put that out there first. They are not immigrants. They are thieves because immigrants come the right way. That's right. That's right.
There's no such thing as an illegal immigrant. An immigrant is documented and they're going through the system. Okay, one of the phrases that crawls under my skin is we need a path to citizenship. We need a path to citizenship. We have a path to citizenship. It's called the naturalization process.
Yes, we
process.
Do.
Exactly.
If we would enforce our immigration laws, we would be a lot better off. All right? Instead of shortcuts and freebies and, you know, it's I can it to you go to Disney World and you stand in line for 3 hours to ride a ride and all of a sudden they bring 1,500 people in front of you and stick them in front of you in line and say they're going to ride first.
Yeah.
You know
the truth of the matter is if somebody, say a spokesman for the Democrat or spokesman for the illegal aliens come out and said, well, we thank you Democrats for letting us come here, and when we get there, but we all decided, a majority of us, we're going to vote Republican. We kind of like their beliefs. We kind of support what they believe in.
Sure,
that wall would be built in 30 days, 100 foot tall, 10 feet in the ground, with a moat on our side, filled with alligators, and probably guns sitting out there waiting to shoot anybody who made it over. That's right.
The point.
Like Rush used to
it's
say.
It's absolute truth.
Like Rush used to say, just let everybody come here, but say they can never vote forever. They can never, ever vote. And see how quickly Democrats abandon that ship.
Well, that's the reason they want voter ID or don't want voter ID.
Exactly.
Is because
right.
You don't give ID. People in this country illegally should not have driver's license. They should not have, you know, an official ID that allows them to vote. But without voter ID,
so
anybody, any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street can walk in and vote.
Doobie, the guy who, person who killed your son and Sabine, they got like 30 days or some crazy thing. They've got very short time and they're illegal aliens.
Sabine's only did 39 days. The guy that killed her son, he had two felony arrests. He'd been deported twice prior. He had just gotten a DUI a week before he killed her son, and he was drunk when he killed him. And he got 39 days in a county jail. My son's killer, they had him on charges that totaled up to 38 years. By the time it was settled, the only thing they got him for was leaving the scene of an accident involving a death. And he gave him 6 years. He did 3 years and 5 months in prison, and he was deported. But there again, he's got a girlfriend and a brand-new baby that are legal in Baltimore. His mother and father and his brother are all in Baltimore. They're illegal. How long do you reckon he stayed in Mexico? You think his feet got wet before he come back?
No.
Wow.
He's back.
So this is pretty deep stuff. And I've been on the program with Doobie and Sabine and other people, other angel people. And it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. It's hard for me to watch, but I understand this is reality. This is what we got to deal with at the border. So I my hat's off to all the angel parents and everything they went through, and it's good to get your message out, and I appreciate it. And that's one reason I had you on here. You guys are experts on that kind of thing. And same thing with when we talked to my other guests, and Jared, you're an expert on politics. You know what's going on in the House and the Senate and everything. I appreciate you coming on here.
Yeah.
But Pastor Hall, Pastor Hall, I got to ask you, do you see anything like this in Texas? Do you see the illegal aliens down there? Or they do San Antonio, I'm talking about. Do you have that impact in that area where you live?
You know, that's a very, very interesting question, and I'll tell you why. For whatever reason, Kevin, and to the other guests, when it comes to San Antonio in this area, There's somebody making sure that the San Antonio area and surrounding areas are shielded, or at least the eyesight is shielded from those kind of things. Now, go figure, because you know, the border is, I mean, logistically speaking, it's not that far from here. But when you, if anybody ever gets the image of illegal aliens, you know, kind of running through the streets or showing up. Now, we have had some incidents, you know, like here last year, you know, y'all probably heard there was a couple of incidents where at the truck stop, you know, they stop a truck and they open up the back and then there, here we go, you know. Yeah. But those incidents are far and few between. And it's a mystery how they keep us people shielded from that thing. It's like we don't want y'all to see this because y'all are so close to it. It's almost like that, you know.
You've got a gentleman down in San Antonio. You got a gentleman down there in San Antonio by the name of George Rodriguez that does a regular radio show, a conservative radio show down there. I just was with George out in D.C. last week, and I see a lot of his stuff, and I see a lot of liberalism coming out of the San Antonio area. But you're right. I don't hear the reports of the illegals there.
No.
So it's either they're not reporting it, or it's not, you know, it's not as bad.
I think it's a combination. I think they're not reporting it because people were shocked to even see the reports I was trying to tell y'all about, you know, about the truck stop and the thing, because that you rarely see that. But at the same time, anybody, you know, with that's cognitively aware knows it's got to be happening. We're not that far from the border. You know what I mean? We're not that far from Brownswood and all those areas. And we're not that far, so it's got to be. But there's a shielding going on. And I think it's political, personally. I think that there's politics afoot because we don't see a lot of things, and they don't want us to see a lot of things.
Well, the news media and the left don't want you to know numbers and hard facts, and they don't want you to hear my story. They don't want you to hear Sabina's story. In 2019, now this is only the cases that were actually reported, there were 10.5 American citizens per day killed by illegals.
Wow.
10.5 is the number it came out to per day, and that is only the ones that were actually reported as being killed by an illegal.
Wow. You know, you always heard that talking point when it comes to gun control. If we just save one child's life, it's worth it, banning all guns. If we just save one child's life, well, why does that not apply to illegal aliens? If we just get rid of all the illegal aliens and we just save one parent's child, is it worth it? But
that doesn't apply to that. That's the reason I speak out. I want to save someone's parent from going through it.
Right, but why do we not apply the same logic to that? You know, if politicians say, well, if we ban guns and it just saves one life, it's worth it. So if we ban illegal aliens from coming here and it saves one life, is it worth it? Of course.
It doesn't further their democratic agenda.
That's the key. I think that's it.
Yep, yeah. Ban Congress. Ban Congress. Save everybody's life. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's for the source.
Somebody mentioned earlier Illinois being democratically run, and you're absolutely correct. Illinois is just swamped with the left and the far left. And
that's where
County
you're from.
Jail, one county out of 78 counties in this state, one county last year released 1,400 known illegals with ICE detainers on them. And they released them anyway. They released them back out on the street. And that's just one county.
Wow.
80% of the people that I talk to, I live in Illinois. 80% of the people that I talk to about my son's story don't know that Illinois is a sanctuary state. They don't know that they live in a sanctuary state.
My goodness.
It's horrible.
Incredible.
And I didn't mean to change the topic on y'all, but this... This is my area of expertise.
Right, exactly. No. We didn't know that. That's good to know. I mean, I didn't know. I know you lived in Illinois, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, numbers and statistics and all that, those are cold, okay? People can see the numbers. They can see the statistics. And it just doesn't hit their heart, and it doesn't open their eyes. To hear
unreal
an angel parent, to hear an angel parent or an angel family member tell the story of their loved one's life being taken, that pulls a heartstring.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then there seriously is something wrong.
Wow.
None of our family members' deaths can be classified as an accident, because they weren't. They were 100% preventable. Had the local and state governments done their job and deported people when they were caught, this guy that killed my son was caught 5 years prior, released, and then rearrested 5 times in 5 years.
My goodness. My goodness.
That's what people need to hear. That's what people need to hear.
You know, I just thought of another thing, Kevin and guests, fellow guests, and you all may already be aware of this, but do y'all know that living here in San Antonio, Texas, and living here in Texas, there are, you would be surprised at the number, or maybe you wouldn't, be surprised at the number of Hispanic people who are not, that they're not high on illegal alien stuff. I mean, in the sense of, they're not, you know, I mean, if people are thinking that, you know, well, you know, they're Hispanic, and then the ones that are trying to come through illegally are Hispanic, and they're naturally going to bond with them, you would be surprised. No, that's
well, a majority of them,
a whole lot of people, you know.
A demanding majority of them are against it.
Yep.
You look at, you just look at, you know, most Hispanics by nature are, they're very Christian. A lot of them are very Christian. They're pro-family. They don't subscribe to this woke crap that, they support the patriarchy. They don't support men can be women and women can be men. They believe in family, and that doesn't really line up with the Democratic ideology.
Very family-oriented. One of my best friends is a naturalized Mexican. Okay, his parents brought him here when he was 7 years old, and he is a naturalized citizen. And one of his biggest things is learn to speak English. He said that nothing makes him madder than to be in a group full of Mexicans and all they're doing is spitting Spanish. And they've been here for 15 years and they still don't know how to speak the language. You know, he is one of the biggest proponents for closing the border, for legal immigration, because it's a slap in their face. Again, they came here, they did it the right way. And they don't agree with what's going on down there any more than anybody else does.
True. I was surprised when I first was aware of it. But, you know, you just naturally think, well, you know, maybe there's some tribalism going on there. Oh, no. And there are people that they'll tell you outright. There are sweet Hispanic folk that tell you, look, I work too hard. My father, my grandfather, we work too hard for what we're doing and whatever. And no, we don't abide by this. You just walk in and just start, taking jobs or hurting people. They don't buy into it.
In this budget, they're trying to sneak into this budget $300 billion for amnesty for these illegals. I mean, how does anybody justify that?
Yeah.
How do you look into the face of your constituents, the people you're supposed to represent, and justify that?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Like you said, there's 5,000 pages or whatever in this budget thing, in this bill, and nobody's read it all.
Nope.
No.
So you don't know what they're taking. They put in $300 billion for tree amnesty or tree equity. Tree equity.
Wow.
Now, what in the world is tree equity?
What is that?
We'll have to research that one.
We have too many pine trees. We need more maple. You know, we need
to... Right. Oh, I get it now. There you go. It's diversity.
What is that? You know, an infrastructure.
You know, infrastructure is roads, bridges, railways, waterways. That's infrastructure. And they're trying to sneak amnesty in on that.
Well,
you can't get a job there unless you're already in construction.
Equality, the equal rights for everyone, got replaced with equity. And
right.
Equal is an equal right, an equal starting point. That's equality.
Right.
Everybody
exactly.
is guaranteed the same right to start, not the finish.
Right.
The finish is on
right.
you. The finish is on you and how you use
equity,
what you're given.
Equity is we all start at the same point, and we all have the same, you know, we all start at the same point. Or excuse me, equality is we start at the same point, and we're, you know, we're all equal. Equity
right.
is we're going to decide how everybody is ends up based upon how
yep.
we feel.
Except in
absolutely.
Government. So,
yeah.
Hey, guys.
Well, they're above it.
We have 4 minutes left in this program. So
well,
anybody, you guys can
talk.
Say whatever you want. Huh? No, no, no. I talk too much. So anyway, yeah, going back to what Pastor Ronson Hall said earlier about him and his, you know, he's not playing his role. That's my life. We both have the same exact life, and that's why I wrote my book, Growing Up White, because totally,
yeah.
I get it. I'm an outcast at my church, right, because I don't play the same game that my color, my skin is. And it's the same way, you know, you can't judge people. Everybody's, like Doobie said, is an individual. And that's what I stress in my book. I'm an individual. You have to be yourself.
That's right.
So anybody, how can we reach you guys? I want to know, let's start with Doobie. I see you on a lot of programs and things like that, and you have make speeches. So you got anything you want to say before we go?
Well, you can reach me either through my email, which is fatboybarney63@gmail.com.
Wow.
There's a story behind it.
Okay.
But it's fatboybarney63@gmail. And my information is also available on the Illinois Liaison for AVIAC, which is the Advocates for Victims of Illegal
yeah.
Alien Crime. Our website is aviac.us. I encourage everybody to go on there and take a look at it.
Thank you. Jared, tell us real quick about yourself.
You can reach me at my email, Jared Shelton, jaradshelton2014@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Jared Shelton, or I'm on Facebook, Jared Shelton. If you want to purchase one of my books, you can get them at lulu.com, lulu.com. My first book is The Intolerant Party. And my second book is 2016, How Donald Trump Saved America.
I'd like you to send me that book, the first book, manuscript,
if
you can.
I've got to get some more ordered.
Okay. Just a word thing. So, Pastor Ronson Hall, tell us about yourself, and we're going to have a show just for us in the future.
Yeah, you know it.
So.
You know it.
So
by the way, it's been an honor, Doobie and Jared, it's been an honor to be on with you all and with Kevin. Thank you for inviting me. My email is I kind of sound like Doobie here. There's a story behind my email. Hawk Farmer.
Okay.
HAWKFARMER, Hawk Farmer, at AOL.com. I still do AOL. And
right.
You can also find me, on Facebook at Pastor Ronson Hall. And you can find our website for our church is truelightsa.org, truelightsa.org. And thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
It's been
my pleasure to be with you all this evening.
It's my pleasure to have all of you on here, definitely. And I appreciate you guys for coming. So hold on a second, and I'm going to close this program. Here we go. So here we go. This is the end of the program. It's been a wonderful show. I learned a lot, and I'm enjoying every second of this.
You are
and
listening to Patriot
week,
Nation Radio Live,
another program.
347.
We're going to be talking about, I don't know what yet. I think I'm bringing a Vietnam ex-fighter pilot in, and hopefully I can get him on, and we're talking about that. He's been shot down and everything. So everybody, remember, God bless America.